Good morning and welcome, folks. This beautiful, gorgeous Sunday morning, June 27th, would have been my mom's birthday. Tomorrow's my son's birthday. It's a beautiful day. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, what did you think of yesterday's show? Did you like listening to all the great information that Paolo LaPietra and Vincenzo Testa? You know, these guys are truly great additions. I mean, Paolo's been with me now for a few years, and Vincenzo's one of our newest team members. Vincenzo's a CPA. He's going to be heading up our tax planning area, and Paolo is a CFP and one of our portfolio strategists, and I'm telling you, Paolo really gets it and understands it. Folks, when I tell you I'm surrounded by an amazing team, I am surrounded by an amazing team, and I continue to invest in our human capital in order to hopefully bring the absolute best service and advice I can to our clients. I know last week I had Nicole on, and the week before that, Nicole and Harmony, and I'm just giving you an opportunity of just realizing how wide and deep our bench goes. I'm very proud of my team. But today, I want to help you on this Sunday morning. I thank you for tuning in. Our phone numbers, 1-800-825-5949, 1-800-825-5949. Let's start out the morning with Josh and Troy. Hello, Josh.
Steve, good morning. Normally I call you from Troy. I'm actually calling you from West Palm today.
West Palm Beach?
You got it. Yeah, we're finally venturing out of the state, and we're visiting some family we have down here. So excited to be down in Florida.
Well, you know, I did the show last week from down there. I missed you by a week. I had some meetings, and I went down there, and I'm telling you, Josh, I'm telling you, you would never know that COVID was ever around, would you? The airlines, the airports are jam-packed, the planes, you can't fit any more bodies onto the planes. And Florida's just, you know, I don't think they ever thought that COVID existed. They just had a whole different mentality than New York, that's for sure. Well, listen, travel safe, enjoy your day. What can I help you with today?
Absolutely, yeah. So my wife and I, you know, we own and operate a growing rental portfolio in the Capital District. And I've asked you this before, and sometimes even still I go back to wondering myself. So traditional financial planning, especially in a portfolio, there's some allocation to either bonds or alternative assets. And so right now we're 100% equities because of the physical real estate, a cash position. We own some REITs, things of that nature. But a lot of times when you go online, you see things like either, you know, a three-fund portfolio or like the Warren Buffett portfolio, which is just, you know, the S&P and total bond market. So I've asked you this before, and I'm just wondering further insight. Just if a person has alternative assets, is there still a need to have, you know, something like, especially in a low-yield environment, something like bonds in their portfolio?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, Josh, and we have a lot of clients. You know, I have one client who says, hey, Steve, my business gives me a salary, gives me profits. I look at that as like a bond portfolio. And when you think about it, it's not a bad way of looking at it. So the money that we manage for that client at Schwab is all in equities. I have another client that has some money in savings and CDs, and he also has some real estate. So the money that we manage is in all equities. When I talk to clients, I talk about their entire financial house, not just the piece we're managing. For instance, if a client says, hey, you know, I think I'm like a growth and income kind of a investor, I just want like 60% allocated towards equity, 40% towards bonds, alternative assets, and cash, then we look at all their financial holdings and we try to divvy up what's the value of them and how do we get 60% targeted to stocks? Because we know over time, stocks outperform every other asset class. I'm 63, my wife's 65, we have the same birthday. We are 100% invested in the stock market. Now, I have a home, I look at that as my foundation. I'm very comfortable with risk no matter what happens in the market. I know that stock market always comes back and it always goes on to make all-time highs. I don't think anything's going to change on that, but that's just me. Now, for our clients, we just underweighted bonds. We took some money out of bonds because right now bonds is the one asset class that I'm unsure about. So we added some alternative assets. So where you're going with this is you're right on, Josh. You and your wife, especially with the business that you're in and investing in some real estate and everything, you have to look at everything and then come up with a mix of stocks, bonds, alternative assets, commodities, and cash that you're comfortable with. And especially with all the real estate that you have, you know, for most people, when you buy real estate, hopefully you're not going to lose money on that real estate. And that's going to be a solid, you know, the base of your, if you look at your financial picture as a pyramid, you want some assets on the bottom that are rock solid. That could be cash. For some people, they may consider commodities like gold, real estate. You get the picture. So when you look at that pyramid, you want to have your more speculative, aggressive assets kind of at the pinnacle of that pyramid, whereas the base, you want to have assets that you just feel comfortable with, that you're not going to lose your shirt with. And for you, that, you know, real estate plays a big part of that. So having money in stocks and being as young as you are, how are you? How old are you, Josh? I never asked.
Yeah, no, I just turned 31.
My wife is just a baby.
She just turned 30. Yeah, well, and that's just it. Outside of the equities and the real estate and cash, we also have two businesses. And so it's refreshing, though, to hear you talk about the total asset allocation, because I feel like so often, you know, there's different pundits or whatnot that you hear will talk about was, well, you know, here's your equities, here's your bonds, this is what you need, da da da. And then you pose to the question of, yeah, but what if I own a rental portfolio? What if I have businesses? And it's like, you know, it's like the 10-second easy answer is just go 60-40 stocks to bonds, but they don't want that more nuanced approach to it. And not to belabor it, a lot of financial professionals I speak with, when you talk about real estate outside of just, you know, the primary residence a person owns, a lot of them don't either understand real estate or don't own rental real estate, so they can't fully grasp how it works into a person's portfolio, I find.
Yep. Nope, you're absolutely right. You know, Josh, I've been a fiduciary for 28 years. Back when nobody knew what a fiduciary was, basically in a nutshell. As a fiduciary, all that I and my team care about is what's right for our clients. And believe me, I've coached, I've trained a lot of my team members. You know, I mean, a lot of these folks that join me, I've been able to really, truly kind of teach them exactly how I think about client relationships, how I think about the value added, how I think about ethics. And I'm proud of the team that I have and how they literally kind of shadow me. And, you know, you just, as a fiduciary, we call it like it is. We disclose all fees. We tell clients the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, you know, You're on the right track. Now listen, being down there in West Palm Beach, go on up to Jupiter, look for a nice restaurant or two. If you call me next Sunday and said I bought some property over there on Palm Beach, I know you're a player, Josh. Listen, you and your wife enjoy South Florida, and I'm telling you, I think our weather may top your weather up here in historic downtown Troy, which is where I'm doing the show from this week. You guys be well. Thanks for being a loyal listener, Josh, and all your great questions. 1-800-TALK-WGY. 1-800-825-5949. 1-800-825-5949. Folks, you've heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. I get energized coming in to do the show. I do not ever think twice about wanting to come in. And I have that fire in my belly, to do the show, and I love it, especially a week like this. As the Wall Street Journal headline says, markets bounce back in broad rally. Folks, that means everything rallied. It was a good week in the stock market, U.S. stocks. Best week since February, mostly because of gains among, you know, shares of, you know, everything. Banks, oil producers, manufacturers, they all went up last week. Markets really, you know, it was nice. It started right on Monday, right in the get-go. The Dow Jones on Monday, it had its biggest one-day climb since March. The pace of gains slowed over the following few days. Stocks, man, they, for the most part, kept rising. The S&P, fresh new highs on both Thursday and Friday. You heard me right. Fresh new highs. NASDAQ is close, a smidgen to highs. Think about NASDAQ. And, you know, for those of you that want to get an idea, NASDAQ right now closed at 14,409, NASDAQ Composite. Those are about 3,300 stocks that make up NASDAQ. Monday, up 111 points. Up 111 points again on Tuesday. Up 18 on Wednesday. Up 98 on Thursday. Down a little bit on Friday. NASDAQ was, and that's why we didn't have a record high, down a little bit. But boy, it was a nice week on the markets. You know, you think a week ago, you know, the market had its worst stretch since October. And it just goes to show you, folks, if you're a long-term investor, I'm telling you, when you get weeks like a week ago, not this past week, a week ago, where there's volatility and maybe stocks ended down, forget about it. Forget that you even own stocks. I can't stress that enough. Stocks go up and stocks go down. When will that next correction? When will that next bear market? When will that next recession hit? That's what you have to ask yourself. And when it happens, don't be scared. Don't get out of the markets. Don't have any knee-jerk reactions. Don't listen to your brother-in-law at Sunday dinner telling you that he's an expert in stocks. Tune in every Saturday at noon and Sunday mornings at 8, right here. I am going to tell you, I'm going to give it to you straight. I like stocks over time. Not that everybody should be invested in stocks, because some people just, they don't do well with all the volatility. You know, listen, there's volatility in bonds. There's volatility in commodities like gold. There's volatility in real estate. You know, gold's down to $17.76 an ounce, down 6% year to date. How many times do you have people say, oh, I need to own gold? Well, you'd be down when the S&P is up 14%. 15 with dividends year to date. You get the picture. Every bond, you know, US, you know, when you think about the aggregate bond index, I'm just going to pull it up right now. You know, year to date, we're down almost 3% still. The broad stock market's up 15. That's an 18% swing. Oh, the days that we can go to the playground and swing. I do that with my grandchildren. They love it. They call me Granky. They love it when Granky gets on the swings. And they want me to push them, and they want me to push them so high I go underneath the swing. So there's some good swings. But, you know, the swing of bonds being down 3% and stocks being up 15% and, you know, thinking that's a good thing, I guess you just have to take it all in stride. There's risk in every asset class, including cash. You know, if you're going to earn 0.2% on cash and inflation is 2%, you're losing 1.8%. Your real return is negative 1.8%. So there's risk in everything, and the key, folks, is to understand that risk and then have a portfolio that you feel comfortable with at the end of the day. 1-800-825-5949, 1-800-825-5949. any questions whatsoever, I can promise you there's going to be another listener that will be grateful that you asked the question. 1-800-825-5949. Josh, can we take a 15-second break? I'm sorry, Josh. Zach Harris, my long-term producer. I'm calling you Josh. Josh just got off the phone with us. 15-second break, Zach. Hello and welcome back. Zach, will you forgive me for calling you Josh?
Of course. You're my number one.
Man, oh man. Thank God. I was nervous there for those 15 seconds. 1-800-825-5949 are the phone numbers. Give us a call. Any questions you have. So, you know, why were stocks doing so well this week? You know, when we get good news on the economy, that's good. And the world economy looks pretty good. The optimism over the prospect of more fiscal stimulus. Listen, the stock market likes it when we're printing money, and we continue to print money. President Biden and I guess 10 senators agreed to about $1 trillion infrastructure plan on Thursday that would go toward improving the electrical grid, transit, roads, bridges, other forms of infrastructure. Now listen, folks, if all that money goes towards all those things, this country absolutely needs investment in infrastructure. If it goes to pork and fluff and trying to buy this politician's vote, and all of a sudden you got to land some money into their district for some sweet project, then I'm totally against it. Why can't, if we're going to call it an infrastructure bill, let the $1 million go completely, 100% entirely towards infrastructure. So on Friday, you know, this is good news for the market. The S&P up 14 points, 0.3% to close at 4280, up 2.7% for the week, marking its biggest weekly gain, as I said, since February. The Dow up 237 points, 0.7% to close at 34,433, and for the week up 3.4% for the week. And remember, the Dow is a market cap weighted index. So one or two stocks can drive that. You really want to compare your portfolios to the S&P. That is, for the most part, the broad stock market index, our number one holding along with NASDAQ. That's, you know, the broad stock market index is what you want to compare yourself to. NASDAQ, as I said, down 9 points yesterday, 0.1% to close at 14,360. But for the week, up 2.4%. Not bad. Not bad at all. For the week, when you look at the NASDAQ composite, that's 3,300 stocks. When you look at the NASDAQ 100, those are the 100 largest companies down, I'm sorry, not down, up about 2.1%. 1-800-825-5949. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful on this beautiful day. How about you?
Good, good. My question is, I have money with TIA CREF.
Yep.
And I'm going to retire in 1, maybe 2 years. And then I'll have another year or so. I think at 72, I have to take mandatory disbursements.
Correct.
So at the point I retire, should I leave it with TIA CREF? Is there, or should I remove big chunks? I thought about removing big chunks and within the first 3 or 4 years, and then reinvesting certain amounts of it using minimal amounts that I take out for living expenses over those years, and just keep it growing in an index fund or something. What do you think about that idea?
Listen, there's people who love TIA CREF and people that don't. I think one of TIA CREF's biggest in the plus column is their guaranteed account. It's usually pretty good and better than others, almost better than owning bonds right now. I don't know what the current interest rate is, but usually if people that have TIA, CREF is one of their retirement plans, if you have some money in that, you can't just take all of that out. You have to take it out a little bit over time. And, you know, as I said, I don't know what the current rate is. But the rest of their holdings, their mutual funds and everything, really aren't all that stellar, let's say. So I'm a big fan of moving the money into an individual retirement account, which you can control, or hire a professional wealth manager like my firm, and we will help you manage it based on your tolerance for risk. And you just have so many more options there, Tony. As far as the index fund goes, I tell investors, if you're only going to own one investment, don't mess around. Own, well, for me, it would be two, because I love the broad stock market index like the S&P 500 or the total stock market index, which takes into consideration not only the 500 largest companies, but the next 600, 400, 400 mid-cap and 600 small-cap companies. I also like NASDAQ. NASDAQ is, it's an index that I feel is different than it was at the turn of the century. I've been interviewing some money managers out of New York City, and I think we're close to bringing one on our team. And, you know, we were talking about NASDAQ, and he brings a lot of resources with him. And if we go with him, I think he's going to really, when you hear him on the radio, you're going to really like him. But NASDAQ is just, for us, it's our growth index. About 55, 60% of it's allocated towards technology. It's one of our technology holdings as well. And I like technology. I've been overweight technology for my clients for 15 plus years. And I think I'll always be overweight technology. There's no reason not to, even though, and you saw a few weeks ago, Tony, NASDAQ was lagging the market. And when you look year to date, NASDAQ composite's up about 11.4. The S&P's up 14 without dividends. So I guess what I'm saying is I think you'd be better served to take that money and let's bring it over into an IRA account. And then you have the world to choose from rather than just the six mutual funds that TIA CREF has.
Well, a few years ago, when the interest rates were changing, I got afraid that money would deplete out of the account real quick. So when it hit a high point, I literally removed 75% of it out into this secured part of TIA CREF.
Yeah.
I think that meant it was into an annuity. I didn't really know it was an annuity at the time. But then when it hit the bottom and I was ready to jump back in, I was able to take a certain percentage of it and put it back in. And then every year since then, I've been able to take another 10% and put it in. And anything that grew and anything that was put into it, money, went into the non-annuity part. So at this point right now, I'm a little less than 30% in annuity, which I'm not unhappy with.
Tony, I got to cut you off, Tony. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour. I apologize. But you're right on. This is why, you know, I don't like it when investors make those drastic moves. 1-800-825-5949. Stay with me, folks. Hello and welcome back. Thank you for hanging in through the news and thank you for tuning in today, folks. 1-800-825-5949. 1-800-825-5949. Any questions whatsoever, give me a call. I would love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you. 1-800-825-5949. I had to let Tony go because we were coming up to the bottom of the hour. But in a nutshell, Tony, you know, the problem with making that drastic move of moving everything out of stocks into that safe account with TIA CREF is you can only move 10% a year back into the stock market. The money that you will lose because it's not invested in the stock market just over the last couple of years that you made this move is why we're just not big fans. Most investors truly need to have guidance. I got to clear my throat. Zach, 15 seconds before I go to Kathy. God, I got all choked up, folks. I'm sorry. 1-800-825-5949. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Kathy in Niskayuna. Kathy, I'm sorry I had to make you hold.
No, that's okay. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning to you.
And thank you for taking my call. And I do want to tell you, I listen to you every week.
Oh, now you made my day. I'm blushing.
Well, thanks again for taking my call. I do have a quick question. I'm 64 years old, and I've been with the same financial advisor for almost 20 years.
Okay.
And I've received some feedback that I'm paying a little bit too much in fees. So my question to you, how does someone determine whether the fees that they're paying are reasonable or maybe a little bit higher than what's standard?
Yeah, so what you have to do is look at what you're paying exactly. As a fiduciary, we disclose every fee right down to the 0.1%. So our clients know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, our portfolio is about 0.18%. 0.18,
okay.
Maybe 0.20%. The average mutual fund is 1.2%.
Mm-hmm.
Annuities could
mm-hmm.
be 3%. Then if you have a firm charging you a fee on top of that, you have to kind of get a feel for what all your fees are. If you've had a long-term relationship, and I respect long-term relationships, hopefully you're
mm-hmm.
getting value-added service. You know, I have 14 professionals
mm-hmm.
now on my team, so I continue to invest in human capital and technology in order to bring value-added to my clients. I want my clients, I never want them to want for anything. If they're a client of mine,
mm-hmm.
I want them to know that I take it seriously, and I mean, I have four CFPs, Certified Financial Planners.
Mm-hmm.
I have three
mm-hmm.
CPAs. We are solid as far as the expertise that we're able to provide. So you have to ask yourself, just what are you getting
mm-hmm.
for the fee? And then take a look at your returns. You know, compare your returns.
Mm-hmm.
You got some stock jocks out there buying and selling stocks, and at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
you know, their returns are pathetic. You might as well just own
mm-hmm.
the S&P 500 index. So ask these questions,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll be able
mm-hmm.
to decide if your 20-year relationship with this advisor is worth it or not. As I said, I respect
mm-hmm.
long-term relationships. Hopefully you'll get the right answers. And if you don't,
mm-hmm.
if you want us to take a look at it, you know, give my office a call. Devin Costa, our client concierge, will schedule a meeting with you, and we'll take a look at it
mm-hmm.
and analyze it for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. I was curious to know what you might think of that. So
yeah.
Thank you for your feedback, and perhaps I'll give a call. Yeah.
Yep. Perfect, Kathy, and thank you for tuning in every week. 1-800-825-5949. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, tell if Kathy's advisor, and I don't even know if it's a he or she, but he or she, you know, is doing her justice or not. I don't know. I don't have enough information. Remember, folks, if you're doing business with a big wirehouse or an insurance company, more than likely, you're doing business with one. Maybe that one advisor has an assistant or what they call partner. But that's it, folks. That's it. It could be a big company, but you're just literally putting your trust and faith in that individual or maybe two or three individuals. I have 14 professionals. I continue to build out my team and build it out with very, very smart folks in order to give our clients value added. And that's something I'm very proud of. 1-800-825-5949. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Jim in Saratoga. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question involves, I have a pile of cash just sitting in a money market bank account. And I'm retired, and I'm, other than the 0.01% interest that I get on it, I'm just trying to figure out if there's any other, what other kind of vehicles there are that I could put that cash in and have it grow a little bit quicker than the total of it, maybe I get a year out, is like $1,200 in interest. So yeah. I'm just, what other kind of vehicles can I put it in that, you know, gives me the protection of having it in the bank and yet at the same time grow a little bit more and with a good growth percentage?
How old are you, Jim?
73.
Oh, good for you. And congratulations for being retired. I guess, does this represent your entire portfolio, all of your investments?
Well, basically, yes. That's the entirety of it, of all that that I have set up as kind of an emergency fund, but
yeah.
You know, it just sits in the bank. And
yeah. Well, as you know, if you tuned in at the beginning of the show, I actually used cash as an example. You're actually losing money, Jim, because if inflation is 2% and you're getting 0.2, your real return is negative 1.8. You're losing 1.8% a year. That's not good. And, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to be around for 20 years. And if you're married, you and your spouse are going to be around for a long time. So when you put that into perspective, you know, you really probably, unless you're a nervous Nelly, you shouldn't have all of your money in cash anytime. I mean, we manage $850 million almost on behalf of our clients, and we don't have one client, not one, that's all in cash or bonds, because we take the time to educate them about having a diversified portfolio. So at 73, right. You really should probably look at that. And, you know, you're going to bring on a little bit more risk, but you're at risk just having cash with your real negative return, you know, your real return being negative. So you're at risk having cash. And I'm not saying you should swing for the fences, but you probably should have, you know, maybe a conservative allocation towards equities and, you know, some alternative assets and, you know, some other type holdings. But to have all your money in cash, you know, it may feel good because it's there, but you're losing money. You're losing money.
Yeah. I know I'm losing, you know, like little bits of money and stuff like that, which can grow up and be, you know, have a lot more loss effect. But I was just looking at like some of the whether I should put it in some sort of, you know, other market funds that have a broad distribution, like Vanguard's and stuff like that.
No, for the most part,
for it to grow.
Yeah, for the most part, cash is cash is cash is cash. You know, you may get a smidgen more here or a smidgen more there, but for the most part, cash is cash. You just, you know, you're just not going to make any money. And over time, I gave this statistic last year, your average return in stocks, according to Ibbotson, for the last since 1927 is 10 to 12%. Your average return in bonds 4 to 6%, cash about 3%, but inflation is 3.5%. So even over that length of time, you still had a negative return with cash, because cash can't keep up with inflation. Cash is cash. It's, you know, it's nice to have maybe your emergency fund, 3-6 months worth of living expenses in cash. I know for our clients, any money they need for the next 2 years, we have off to the side in a conservative allocation, and that's how we protect them when that next stock market correction or bear market comes. They don't have to worry about it affecting their retirement. So take a look at your tolerance for risk and all of your assets, and then, you know, decide if you want to be like that. But don't be at 73, don't be scared of a conservative allocation towards equities unless you're just too nervous and you can't sleep at night. And then, you know, if your tolerance for risk is none, then, you know, unfortunately you have to just suffer with cash and losing money. Hey, Jim, great question. I'm sure a lot of listeners had that same thought on their mind. So thank you for calling in. Enjoy this beautiful day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. 1-800-825-5949. 1-800-825-5949. Any questions whatsoever? So as I said, it was a good week in the stock market earlier in the week. You know, you had consumer spending in the U.S., you know, above pre-pandemic levels. Seems like so long ago, doesn't it, that COVID existed? I just said yesterday, how did we go from really worrying and being masked up and suited up and staying away, and then just like that, just within a day, the light switch went on and the lights came flooding on and, you know, COVID disappeared. How did that happen? I'm telling you, we had a long 15 months, but consumers, they got a boatload of money. I keep saying this. They've been getting stimulus checks. Some people don't want to go back to work because they're making more money sitting at home. They may be getting fatter sitting on their couch, but, you know, they got more money, and consumers make up 2/3 of the economy. So when the consumer has money and they feel good and they're out there spending money, folks, this is what drives the economy. So consumer spending is healthy. As I said, you know, unemployment benefits, you know, down from where it was, but still there's too many people on unemployment. There's too many businesses that are suffering. Way too many businesses are suffering, and small businesses can't afford to hire people back. You know, people want $20-$25 an hour. Now listen, I'm all in favor of paying people, but I think by these robust unemployment benefits, they're driving up the hourly wage, and businesses, some businesses can't afford that. So it's not a good situation. You have, you know, as I said, a week ago, the markets were down. This week, they were up. The volatility index, though, you know, this week traded at its lowest level of the year. They actually measure volatility. And when you look at the sectors, energy shares were the biggest gainers in this broad market rally this week, jumping alongside the price of crude. Crude right now is $74 a barrel. Remember when it was like in the 20s, not too long ago? Bank stocks did well this week. Treasury yields climbed. That means the price of the bonds went down. There's an inverse relationship. The, you know, KBW, which is really the bank index, up 6.9, almost 7%, more than doubling the gain of the S&P 500. Shares of industrial companies up, leading the markets higher, along with energy and financial stocks and economically sensitive industrial shares. They often rise when investors believe growth will pick up. And right now, investors believe that growth is going to pick up. There's optimism out there. So you have Jay Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, basically saying he's got a level of confidence that inflation will kind of disappear. Right now there's inflation. He thinks it's temporary. He thinks it's because of COVID. Let's hope he's right, because a lot of people are paying more money at the gas pumps, paying more money at Stewart's for milk and bread, paying more money for, you know, heck, if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, you're absolutely paying more money for a sheet of plywood. You get the picture. Inflation is here. Consumers are being affected. The price of food, sky high. But he thinks it's just temporary. Let's hope he's right, because if he's right, then the Fed will keep interest rates low, and that's good news for the stock market, which is why we're optimistic on stocks. We're at our target with our equity holdings, and you know, we're comfortable with that. Actually, with the alternative assets, depending on how you measure alternative assets, maybe we're a little overweight equities, but our clients are profiting from it. 1-800-825-5949, 1-800-825-5949. Any questions, folks, give me a call. I would love to talk to you on this beautiful Sunday morning. So, you know, we made some changes in the portfolio. I shared it with you, Paolo and I, about a month or two ago. Paolo's my guy. And one of the holdings that we added was energy. Energy, as I said, up almost 7%. Financials were overweight financials. We were overweight and we doubled down. We added more to our financial holdings, up over 5% this week, almost, depending on which financial holding you look at, 6-7%. You got the Russell 2000, which we own a position in, up over 4%. As I said, the Dow is up almost 3.44%. The other sector that we're overweight is industrials, up 3.04%. The S&P for the week, up 2.74%. NASDAQ up 2.35%. Materials, which is another one of our overweights, up only 2.1%, but still, I'll take it. Why not? When you look year to date, the S&P 500's up 14% with dividends probably closer to 15%. Russell 2000 is up 18%. NASDAQ up almost 12%. And NASDAQ was lagging, but it came roaring back. That's what I say. You know, when you have more aggressive positions, don't be afraid of those aggressive positions. If you believe in them, just hang on to them. Forget about it. Forget that you even own them. Let time do what time does best, and that's heal all wounds, especially in the stock market. So, you know, let's say you think you want to buy energy. We bought it when price of crude was down, but you can really, you know, try to pick an energy company. Do you pick Exxon, Chevron, EOG, Schlumberger, you know, Conoco, Phillips, Kinder Morgan? You get the picture. How do you pick? We're a big believer. Pick the ETF, the energy sector ETF. And there's different ones out there. But when you buy the energy sector of the S&P 500, XLE is the symbol, 22% Exxon, 21% Chevron, 5% EOG, 5% Schlumberger, 4.5% Marathon, 4.3% ConocoPhillips. You're getting some good energy companies. This way you don't have to bet on just one. That's if you want to add energy. I can do the same on financials, industrials, healthcare, technology. You get, if you like a sector, don't try to, you know, unless you have a crystal ball, don't try to pick which stock in that sector, because it's a hard game to play. This is why we don't believe in investors buying and selling individual stocks. You most times can't even keep up with the broad stock market index or whatever index you want to measure your portfolio to. That's why I said to one of the earlier callers, if you're not sure, Kathy, when you look at your advisor, if he or she is buying and selling stocks, you need to know what your performance is and have it compared to some kind of a benchmark. 1-800-825-5949. Give me a call, any questions you have. But you need to measure whether or not you're getting value added with that advisor. Just because he or she's a nice guy or gal doesn't mean that you should be suffering and maybe losing money. You need to ask those questions. As I said, we're big fans of fiduciaries. If you're going to have somebody manage your portfolio, I'd like to see you engage a fiduciary. We are a fiduciary firm. I've been a fiduciary firm for 28 years, and I'm proud of it. Now it's a buzzword, but I've been a fiduciary for a long time, long before it was a buzzword, because I knew it was the right thing to do, and our clients know that. I think that's why our clients are so comfortable with all that we do for them, because they know that all we care about is what's best for them. First and foremost, that's all I care about. What's best for my clients? Nothing else matters to me. And my team knows that. I continue to coach my team on making sure we ask those questions. Are we meeting our clients' expectations? It's so important. Don't let some advisor show you, you know, a pie chart and engage their services based on past performance. Don't do it. You need to hire an advisor that you feel you can trust, that will look out for you, that will be good for you, that you have a chemistry with, that you can talk with. You know, I continue, and I'm bragging, but I continue to invest in my team. I have 14 professionals, 14. Our clients don't lack for anything. We have expertise second to none. And, you know, it's something that I'm very proud of. And I continue to invest in my team. I always say I want to hire people that are smarter than me. And I do that. And this way, you know, I'm able to spend more time with our clients and sit in on meetings and make sure that my team is doing everything that I expect of them, because I do have high expectations in my team. I really do, because when a client engages our service, I don't take it lightly. I'm very, very serious about that relationship and making sure that we do everything in our power to meet their expectations and guide them and make sure that they don't shoot themselves in the foot, let's say, financially speaking. It's so important for us to have those difficult conversations sometimes. And sometimes we do have to have those difficult conversations. Sometimes we're like marriage counselors. Other times we're talking about, you know, illnesses and death maybe. And, you know, we're giving our clients the best advice that we can give them. It's so important. Look up our podcast. If you missed yesterday's show, tune in. Paolo La Pietra and Vincenzo Testa did the show with me, and they were dynamite. A lot of good information. We're coming up to the end of the show today. I can't believe it. Enjoy this beautiful Sunday, this gorgeous day that's out there. I hope you come back next week, Saturday at noon, Sunday at 8 a.m. And in the meantime, stay well, folks. Stay healthy and enjoy your family and friends. Enjoy this day. Bye-bye.